thank you, Rob and team, for leading us. And it is my distinct pleasure this morning to introduce our speaker, and it's Pastor Rob Pearson. And in all the years of working together with Rob, I have never heard him preach because I've heard it on recordings afterwards, but I'm always away. And so we're excited to have Rob here come and minister and share with what God's put on his heart. Rob, come do that.
Just catch my breath. I already said good morning. I don't know what to say now. Who's excited to get something from the Word this morning? Hey, it's a full church. I love this. I love seeing a full church here. So don't be shy. If you feel like saying amen, if you feel like saying, you know, burn the stump or pop the clutch or keep going, brother, something like that, encourage me. Keep it going. This morning's a little more informational. I like to get up and kind of preach and get excited. There's a lot of information here, but it's also a great topic. I'm speaking on missions and what it has to do with the world and God's heart. And you know, all throughout history, people have been following the call of God into the nations, where, you know, Mark says, go into all the nations and preach the good news to all creations. And these missionaries, they've left their homes, they've left their families, they've left their comforts and everything that is familiar to them. And, you know, when we think of missionaries, we often think of people, if you're familiar with missionaries from days of old, we think of names like Hudson Taylor and his missionary work in China. And we think of William Carey or Mother Teresa and their missionary work in India. But, you know, missionaries today, they still face many of the same challenges of having to adopt a different culture, of having to learn a new language, a new way of life. Often they have to, you know, bring families with them and raise what we call third culture children, where they, you know, they don't really feel at home in the land they're serving in, and they come to their, you know, original home, and they don't really fit in there either. And there's sacrifices that are made. And you know, missionaries today, they also face persecution. I mean, it's all over the news. Just recently in Sri Lanka, you know, like 200 people lost their lives just going to church and serving Christ. And you know, there's so many challenges that surround the life of missionaries, but they also live some of the most fulfilling lives available. And it, you know, if you've ever read a biography of a missionary, it's just mind blowing to see what God can do with a regular person like you and me. And the awesome thing is that the burdens and the suffering and the challenges that these people endure, they share that with Jesus. You know, they share those experiences that Jesus had on this earth, and along with that, they also share the joys. You know, and they also share the victories, and they also share the miraculous signs and wonders that follow those who give their life into missions. And you know, sometimes it's one of the loneliest lives out there, is being a missionary and being somewhere that you're not familiar with. But these people are so far from being alone, because they are promised the Holy Spirit as their companion. They're promised the power of the Holy Spirit that goes along with them. And you know, I'm obviously no expert in missions. I'm not an expert missionary, but I do have some experience. I've lived overseas many years and done a lot of ministry in other countries. And I recently completed a course, which is part of my degree, on missions, and it just kind of stirred me up and fired me up. And so out of like a 300-page textbook, I'm going to condense it down into 20 minutes. But Because missions is such a dear topic to God's heart. And so this morning, I just want to simply answer the questions of what is missions, why we have missions today, and then talk a little bit about what Dee and I get up to over in Germany when we disappear for a month at a time. So are you all ready to learn something this morning? Yeah? Come on. Just give your neighbor a nudge and say, let's do this. Come on. Let's go there. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your plan for this earth. Lord, I thank you that you have a purpose for all of us. I thank you that your plan for redemption to reach out into all the earth that you love is a perfect and complete one. Lord, I thank you that you use everyday people like myself and the people in this room and all over the world to go out in your name and do incredible, mighty things, even greater things than Jesus did on the earth, your word says. So, Lord, I pray this morning you would open our eyes, you would open our hearts to receive the truth that is in your word and the power that it has to change our lives. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. So, first of all, what is mission? Or missions, right? It's a bit of a play on words. One has an S, one doesn't. But just to break it down briefly, mission without the S is basically everything that the church does that points people towards the kingdom of God. So that's this church here this morning. That's our soccer groups. That's all the programs we run. That's what happens inside and outside the walls of the church. That's mission. But then there's missions, which is it's a word that specifically pertains to going out into the world and making disciples of all the nations. It's the act of crossing cultural borders to evangelize and to share the good news and the gospel of Jesus to those who don't have faith in Jesus or have faith in other gods per se. And it's not just about evangelism though. It's about truly making disciples. It's about bringing people alongside themselves and showing them how to walk, the way that Jesus walked, planting churches. It's about expansion in creating this system that can keep going when the missionaries leave. And it's also not just evangelism. It's also relief work. I know a lot of people go over and they, dig wells and build orphanages, and it's doing good work and serving the nations in the name of Jesus. And so mission and missions are essentially the outworking of God's redemptive plan for the earth. It's part of the story that's in the Bible of God pursuing his people. Because we can even find mission in the very beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of time, in creation, because ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve, they decided to, kind of sidestep God's plan for their life. They listened, to the serpent and the lies he had, and they decided to do things their own way. Ever since that moment, there has been this relationship between God and man, this perfect relationship that was broken, and sin and rebellion entered the earth, and our paradise was lost. But ever since that time, in Genesis, God had a plan to restore that relationship with his creation. And from the beginning, from the very beginning, God had a plan to bring us back to himself. And he did that by himself becoming a human on earth in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. And that was his plan. And it's a good plan. It's an awesome plan. Somebody say, God has a plan. God has a plan. Come on. Since the very beginning, God has had a mission to restore this relationship with us, to give his people a choice once again of choosing life or death. And, originally, as we read in the Old Testament, God had restored that relationship with his chosen people, the Jews, the Israelites. And the way he did that was he created this order, and he created this law and the Ten Commandments, and he established a group of royal priests to mediate between man and God and kind of bridge this broken gap between us. And rituals were performed to clean the priest, the high priest, so that he can go in and actually approach this unapproachable God, this holy God. And animals were sacrificed, and innocent blood was shed to cover our sins, to cover the sin of just the ordinary people, so that we could be made right in God's sight. And despite all the work, despite all the effort and the ritual, only once a year the high priest, like the main guy, once a year he could go into the holiest of holies, as they say, and meet with God. And but the common people could never do that. And God's plan was bigger than that. God has a bigger plan. And so not only did he have a plan to restore his people to himself fully, but he wanted all the people of the earth to come and know him. And that was his plan for Israel. He wanted them to be this kingdom of priests for the whole world, not to just stay in their camp, not to just do their own thing, but to minister to the whole world, because God loves all people. He wants all his children to know him, not just the one nation. But as we read, you know, his chosen people, they didn't share his glory and his love the way in the extent that God had intended them to. And so Jesus came himself, the Son of God came to earth as a person, and he came to restore this relationship with all men and with all God and with God. And he was crucified on a cross. If you were at the Good Friday service, basically covered the whole story. He was crucified on the cross, and it was his innocent blood that was shed for all people, and that not only covered our sin, but it erased them forever. And he, you know, tore that veil between us and this holiest of holies, and he made a way for us to approach God and receive this love of the Father. And so it was Jesus that broke the sin of the curse of sin and death, so that all who believe and call on his name and turn from their sin can be saved. Amen. 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 And you know what? They're saved not from death on this earth, because we all die, we all get old, but it's spiritual death. It's living an eternity without God, and with the work of Jesus, we can now spend eternity with God. We don't fully die at the end. And so this is, in essence, the big news, right? This is the good news. This is the gospel that we call the good news, that Jesus forgives sins, that he made a way for us to be with God again. And the plan that God originally had for the Israelites, his chosen people, is now open to us. Right, we are now invited into this royal priesthood. We are grafted into this family, and like I preached in another sermon about being adopted into this family of believers and all that pertains to, because he chose me, and he wants you, and that's such a big truth we need to get into our hearts, that God wants us, and God wants, you know, our neighbors, and God wants the street kids in Pakistan, and he wants the government officials over in Mexico. He has a plan, and he wants to restore all people unto himself. Somebody say, God has a plan. Come on. Romans 10:9-14, I think it'll be on the screen perhaps, says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in that respect. We're the Gentiles. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scriptures say. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? So you see, brothers and sisters, this salvation we have, this good news we have, is for everyone. It's to be shared. It's not to be locked up inside of our heads. It's not to be kept inside the four walls of this church or an institution. You know, back then it wasn't to be kept up in this whole, you know, system of rituals and all these things. God wanted all the nations to hear about this good news. And so, you know, we are called to be salt and light to the earth. And the salt is to preserve the earth, to preserve the people until Jesus comes back in his fullness. And the light is to bring hope. The light, we're to be, you know, to bring justice. We're to shine ourselves into the dark places and reveal where there's things that aren't right and go and make a difference. We're to shine it from a hilltop. The word says it's not to be kept under a bowl. We're to strahlen, as they say in German. We're to shine. And so how will anyone go unless they have been sent? And so the cool thing is, the parallel here is that just as Jesus was sent by his heavenly Father to go and do the work of the will of his Father, we're sent by Jesus to do the same thing. He sends us out. And in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, we read the passage which is dubbed the Great Commission. And this took place on the day that Jesus rose from the dead and saw his disciples. It's what we call Easter. So it's kind of funny that we just had that last week. But in Matthew 28, 16, it says, "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And so who is sent? We're sent, yeah? We're sent to tell everyone about the amazing works that Jesus has done, and to fulfill this mission of God. And you know, and if you're so called, if you feel so called to go overseas and to engage in missions and in other countries. And so why do we have missions? It's because God loves all people. God wants everybody. He wants all his children to come back to him. John Piper says that missions exist because worship doesn't. You know, in parts of the world where they don't know Jesus or they haven't heard of Jesus, these people they're not worshiping Jesus. They're not experiencing the love and the forgiveness and the power that God offers his children. And we need to share that word. We need to share the good news to them. And so until the whole earth hears the truth of Jesus Christ, we will have a need for missions. Missions is at the center of God's heart. I have some scriptures I want to put up just that talk about missions in the Bible. I'll just rhyme a few off here. So Psalms 96:3, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people." Matthew 24 says, "And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." Mark 13, "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations." Mark 16, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poisons. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." Acts 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." 1 Chronicles 16, "Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he has done." Revelation 14, "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel proclaim to those who live on earth and to every nation, tribe, language, and people." And one, I love this verse, and I just thought of it this morning. Revelation 7, it says, "After this," this is John on the Isle of Patmos with the revelation, and he says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They are wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be all tribes and people, all kinds of colors, all kinds of cultures, every diversity that God has incredibly made and uniquely made, they're going to be there. And, you know, in this part of the world, we feel, you know, we are truly privileged. I mean, it's a privilege and a curse to have the kind of resources we have and finances we have and opportunities we have. And, you know, we need to share that. We need to do our part because God loves all people. And so I know after that big, long spiel, you know, you're saying, "Okay, Rob, I get it. God's into missions. You know, God has a plan for the nations, but I don't know if I'm really feeling called to Tibet, to go and live amongst the goats, right? Like, I mean, not everybody's into that. And you know, the truth is maybe he is and maybe he isn't. But I think a lot of people ask the simple question, you know, how do I know if I'm called? Right? Like how you talk about this calling. What is this calling? How do I know if God's got me going out there? And you know, it's just like any other area of your life where you're looking for direction or what God has for you. It's the simple voice of the Holy Spirit can be speaking to you. It can be when you see people starving, you see people thirsty, and something inside of you says, you know, that's not right. You know, I have to go do something about that. And sometimes, you know, you'll get a prophetic word from somebody that says, I see you going to this place or somewhere else. Or, you know, the body of believers might even confirm the call in your life. But often, you know, people will have a burden in their hearts to either go somewhere or do something. And that could be your neighbor. In Alistair Brown's book entitled I Believe in Missions, she writes, the critical question is not whether we're called, for we are. The critical question is, where am I called to? And the answer may be to serve Jesus right where we are already, among those we live and work beside. So you see, not all of us are called to missions with an S or to be missionaries, but we are all called to God's mission. We are all called to share the gospel and the good news to our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends and family. No one is exempt from that. No one is to keep the good news to themselves. And so that being said, you know, we have quite a few missionaries in this church already. People who they themselves have answered the call, felt that call in their heart and said, I'm going to go do something. I'm going to go do something about that. And I just wanted to mention a few people because some of you may not know them. It's just a way to honor them and make them available, because it's great to talk to these people, you know, and ask them, talk to them, say, what are some of the crazy things God's done in your life? And of course, you know, Jody, who's married to Augustine from Mexico, she's not here this morning for the first time, but she's a full-time missionary over in Mexico. Great person to talk to. Brian and Jennifer Morant, they've also spent a year over in Africa. He was working in a school, and I was just talking with him about how much, you know, they were involved in. It was really awesome. Meg and Jim Wardrop are here. How long have you been overseas?
22 years,
right, and 5 years. Wow. Wow. So you think there's some stories there. You think there's some amazing things God has done there. Go talk to these people. It's amazing. People that have, you know, done some short-term missions. Tracy, I know you've been to the Dominican Republic. Pastor Steve, he's been to Africa. He's been to some other places. You've been to the Dominican too, right? Alisa, she went to visit Jody and Augustine. Jake Gruen, you went to, you also visited Jody and Augustine. And, you know, I point these people out because they're not... Don't take offense by this, but they're just ordinary people. You know, there's nothing supernatural about them or miraculous about them. They're just regular, everyday people that felt this call of God in their heart. Say, you know what? I want to go see. I want to go do something. And they answered the call, and then God had them do extraordinary things. And that's all it takes. You know, we just simply answer the call. And because I think a lot of people, myself included, you know, we have these unrealistic images of like what a missionary is, you know, that they're, you know, they're like Tarzan swinging through the vines, living in caves and, you know, and running from cannibals and all these things. And I mean, there are situations like that, but it's not all like that. It's just people like you and me who pay attention to that burden in our heart, and we go and we choose to rely on God, and we choose to put ourselves in situations where we can't do it, you know, and God has to show up. And that's kind of funny when you see a lot more miracles. I mean, how many people who have been involved in missions saw miracles, saw miraculous things, right? Like there's this power that goes along with us, because you're in a situation where it's like, I can't just write a check for that. I can't just, you know, pay the bill for that. And God shows up in amazing ways. And, I did just want to mention one thing. Missions, it's not just all, like, I mean, when you read the biographies of people, it's so encouraging. It's so amazing to see what God does. But there's also just a lot of mundane tasks. There's also just a lot of, you know, slugging it out and building relationships. And a lot of people have to learn the language for like 4 to 5 years and before they can even, you know, share what's on their heart. And so, I mean, you need God in those times too. You know, you need God in the times when you're down and you're depressed, and God shows up and he does great things. And so that power that goes along with being sent is what we read in Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And again in Mark 16, it says, "And these are the signs that will accompany the believers." And so it's when we go out, it's when we put ourselves in these situations that the power of God takes us over, and he does what only he can do. It was Hudson Taylor that said, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supplies." And this morning, I remembered a story when I was in Thailand, and I was there doing a 2-week short-term mission trip, and it was just kind of fast and furious. We went from place to place, and the one village we visited was it was an orphanage. And there were so many kids there. And I said, "How many kids can stay here?" And you know, the director said, "Well, actually, only 200, but there's over 400 here, but we only have enough to feed 200. And I'm like, "So how does that work?" And he goes, "Well, every morning they have to get up early in the morning, and they go out in the field, and they have to ask God for their food. And they have to ask, for his provision, and God provides, and he provided for these kids." And we put on like a simple worship service with an out-of-tune guitar, and you've never seen anybody worship God like these little kids, because they experience the power, they experience the provision of their heavenly Father. And so, you know, when you go, God will provide. And if giving your life kind of like, you know, Jody and Augustine do over in Mexico, if that seems a little overwhelming, if that seems a little out of your league, and you still feel called to do it, just go do it. just get up and do it. But if you're still not ready to do something like that, get involved in a short-term missions trip. Short-term missions are kind of this, it's kind of a new fad. It's a new thing that's kind of taking on where people are kind of less and less giving their lives to full-time missions. They're going into short-term missions where you go for a week or two, you visit an organization. And I know there's lots of pros and cons that go along with that. You know, like I know some people go just to get the selfies with all the people behind them, put on their Facebook, and that kind of puts a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth with short-term missions. But I definitely see the pros to short-term missions, where it gives us a taste. It gives us a window into the true need and disparity in the world. It can give us it can spark something inside of us. You know, you can go overseas and all of a sudden that's when you hear God call. You know, God say, "I want you here. I want you to do something here." And it's also a great way to support full-time missionaries like Jody and Augustine. That's what Jake and Alicia did. It's great to have, you know, people from the body of believers here to go and encourage them and to support them. And really in Germany, this is what Dee and I end up doing over in Germany. And you know, we have a call. We feel God's call to kind of build this bridge between Canada and Germany, and to keep relationships alive where, you know, we go over there and we send people back over here. And we have a relationship with the Mill or the Mühle, as some of you know, that is run by Stefan, and that's where our awesome interns come from. That's Stefan there. This is the Mill. They're the people actually that sent us Fiona and Sophie, and keep those relationships alive. We're also involved with another church over there called the Community, and they, you know, since we worked over there, they sent Dee and I out as missionaries here, and they do their part also to support us. And when we go back home, we preach and lead worship, and we connect with all the people there. And one of the really exciting parts of what we do in Germany is we connect and partner with Stefan in the Mill, and we do an outreach called On Fire. in Eastern Germany. And that's where we were last June. And I said, I'm going to put a little presentation together. And guess who didn't put a presentation together until now? And so I just have a few photos, but what I want to, I'll just explain it a little bit, just to give you an idea of what short-term missions can look like in Europe. And so we visit Eastern Germany, and this is an area where for 40 years the region was under Soviet control, and it was a communist regime, and so they were blocked off from Germany and from the rest of the world. Christians were persecuted there until the wall came down 30 years ago, and the effects of that are still visible today. I mean, there's some cities you go in Eastern Germany and it looks like the war just ended. Like, there's one photo of the streets just ripped up, and it's crazy. Eastern Germany has the most atheists per capita in the whole world. With a team of about 25 leaders and 100 youth, we go for 2 weeks there in the summer. And so the first week we spend training and equipping, and then the second week we send these kids loose in teams of 12 with leaders into the east, where, you know, we break the teams up to serve in churches, and they basically partner with the churches there, and all the converts, all the people that are led to Jesus, then are able to attend that local church, and they're not just left on their own, but there's a chance for future discipleship. So we spend 1 week building these teams up, encouraging them. I mean, we have incredible times. I mean, these kids, you know, they're in their teens, and they've given 2 weeks of their holidays just to go and do, you know, God's mission. And so we do a lot of one-on-one counseling with them. We do a lot of teaching, evangelistic teaching, because it's not that easy to share the gospel to a bunch of atheists. It's not that easy to share, you know, the gospel in 3 to 5 minutes, or to lead people to Christ, because a lot of us are out of practice in doing that. And so we do a lot of training for that. We're already doing the show. Okay, so. Yeah, so here's some photos. These are some of the groups that we go send out. We do evangelism through story, through music. We do all sorts of different avenues. This was also through song, and so we do like a crowd catcher where people come around and watch, and then we go through the people watching and we talk to them about Jesus. We invited all the people we met on the street here to come and to basically join in an evening at a cafe where they heard the gospel. Here we're bombarding innocent people drinking coffee. This is one of the most amazing men I ever met. He's so bold. He's so empowered by God, and he's so loving. You know, and that's the thing. If you want to do kind of what I call hard evangelism, going out and preaching the word, you gotta be loving. Like, you gotta have the joy of God in your face, in your heart. And so, this is also a home for disabled people. And so we did a magic show, and it was so awesome seeing them respond. This was one of the most amazing moments actually in my entire life. Out of all the 12 teams, two of the teams are called mobile teams, or we call them faith teams. And what they are is we send them out, two different teams. They have enough gas in their car. They have no extra money. They have the clothes on their back and no food, and they have an emergency cell phone, and that's it. And so they spend the entire week asking God where to go, what to do. And so, you know, when everyone else leaves, they're still in the parking lot, not knowing where to go. And so, funnily enough, like, a lot of the times they end up sleeping on the beach or under the bridge, which is, it's not an exaggeration. That was my bed one night. I didn't have enough faith for a real bed, I guess. I don't know. Back to this. This team spent 3 nights sleeping out on the beach. And what ended up happening was this gentleman on the left here, he's basically a famous musician, and he saw them just, you know, jamming in on the guitar, worshiping God. And he goes, you know what? You guys sound awesome. Why don't you come to I'm having like a music night tonight. Why don't you come by and play at my music night? And so they go, okay, but, you know, we don't have anywhere to sleep. He's like, no, no worries. And so this guy had, like, it was literally like a hippie convent or something like that. It was really crazy. And so he had, like, rooms for everybody and, like, this barn and food for everybody. And he invited us there. And so we played worship songs. He invited us, and we got to preach the gospel to a whole room of people. And he invited, it was so impacting and powerful. His son, we led his son to Jesus, and he invited us back next year because everyone was like, there's just something in the room when you guys sing. There's something in the room when you pray. And it was like the Holy Spirit. And God had this Holy Spirit moment. And another, this is one of the houses that they got invited to. This is when we were doing, next photo. This was the, this photo is, this was the week before where we trained them and built them up, equipped them to go out. That's it? Yeah, great. And I wanted to share one other story from one of the faith teams. If I have it here. One of the teams met an elderly lady on the road, and a long story short, the lady had this horse ranch that God had told her that would be a church one day, and her vision that she had with one of the pastors was to start a church service the following Sunday, but nothing had worked out, nothing happened, nothing took place, and so they gave this vision and this plan up. back to God and said, God, you have to do something. And so she said to God, if you really want this church to start, you need to send me 12 people to help and get this place ready for Sunday. And so on that same day, she ran into one of our faith teams. And so they ended up staying at this horse ranch. They were fed. They were given a place to sleep. And then together, you know, they organized this church service, and they started this church together. And it's been running since in this village. And it was just like this divine moment. And I get passionate about this stuff. There's another story where it was just a side mission. Stefan and I were traveling, and he's like, I really need some stones for all the way back at my building in Germany. And so we Googled somebody's giving away free stones to pave the road with. And so we found a place that was giving out free stones. And it was literally on like this farm field road that it was for tractors, and it went on for 15 minutes, and I'm like, dude, I don't think we're going to make it out alive. You know? It's a trap, you know. Anyways, so we get there, and there's, sure enough, this broken-down building, and there's this little farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. And so we get talking to the guy, and he goes, yeah, we're going to bring a team back tomorrow, and we're going to bring these stones. And we of course, told him why we were in the area. We're doing this outreach, all these things. And his mother, who he was living with, was just like, just scowling at us the whole time. It's just like the vibe was horrible. So anyways, we came back the next day with a team of people. And luckily on that team, there was like some of the most outgoing, loving, friendly people available. And they won over the mother, won over the son, and, you know, played worship songs and got so, led the family to the Lord. She ended up stuffing money in the pockets of the people who came out to take their stones. And it was just this incredible, miraculous story. And I thought, God, you're so cool that at the end of this 15-minute-long farm road in the middle of nowhere in eastern Germany where communism resided, it's like you brought the gospel here, you know? And it's just such an amazing thing. So really, that's the end of my my talk. But you know, if this inspires you, if this encourages you, Google missionary stories and read a biography of somebody who did great things, and let it inspire you. And don't be intimidated by the unknown. Don't be persuaded by fear. And I have this quote from Chuck Swindoll, and he says, "We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations." I love that. And so what I'll leave you with today is simply ask God to break your heart for people. You know, I'll be honest, when I went to Thailand for 2 weeks and I got off the plane and I saw all these Thai people, I'm being honest, I realized I didn't really like Thai people. And I realized it's like, maybe I'm a bit racist against Thai people for some reason. It's like, I don't feel like serving these people. I don't feel like loving these people right now. And I was in a tough spot because here I am for 2 weeks just to serve these people. And so I said, well, God, break my heart for these people. Give me your heart for these people. Let me see them the way you see them. And I tell you, anytime now I see a Thai person anywhere in the world, my heart melts and my heart breaks. And I look at them and I just want to give them a hug because it's like, I love you people. I love what God has done and what God is doing in your nation. And he can do that with the people around us. He can do it for your neighbor. You know, I mean, it's like 70% of us don't know our neighbors because we don't care, because we're busy. We're stuck in our lives. And I understand that. I get that. But all we have to do is say, Lord, give me your heart for your people. You love all people. I want to love all people. And just pray for it over and over and over again. And he will. And all of a sudden, you'll surprise yourself. You'll be surprised by the love of God. So Jesus, we thank you that you first loved us. God, we thank you that you made a way for us. God, I thank you that your plan and your purpose is so big that it's for all the nations and all the earth and all people to come and know you. I thank you that your plan is perfect to send people out to go and share the good news. Lord, I pray for a boldness to fall upon people in this room. Lord, I thank you that in Acts, in that upper room, a boldness that when the Spirit came out, there was a boldness that went along with it so that they can go out and be excited and proclaim this life-changing power of Jesus Christ and what he has done and how he has bridged the gap between us and God, that we can finally feel at home here because we have the kingdom of God in our hearts. Lord, I pray your kingdom would come. I pray your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that just you would soften us for our neighbors, that you would soften our hearts, that the curse that goes along with being so well off and so rich in possessions is that it's easy to forget about others. It's easy to focus on ourselves. But Lord, he said, go out, proclaim, go out. I will go with you. I will empower you. I will do great things through you. Jesus, I thank you that you have a purpose and a call for everyone here. I thank you that you can pick us up and you can dust us off. And you can do great things through, I mean, I look at my life, you know, the story I have, what you ended up doing with me, I can only shake my head and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you would use me. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you for your commitment to us in your name. Amen. So, on that note, go! If you would like prayer, there'll be people up here to pray for you for any situations. But other than that, have a great Sunday. Enjoy the sunshine, and we'll see you next week.